Thank you again, Mr. Shoemaker. Good job. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I may not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but probably most of you didn't know that I have two PhDs. I do, two PhDs. The only problem is I can only dig a post hole with just one at a time. The only one around here that knew that was Mr. Rose, because he saw them. I am going to tell a story, though, today, and I'll probably be doing a lot of reading. The story is about a man and woman that were in the Church of God, and nobody expected John and Mary to leave God's church. Now, that's not their name. I'm just using that. That's not their real name. But nobody expected them to leave God's church. And if you want a title to this sermon, it is, "Is That All the Thanks We Get?" John and Mary had been members in God's church for many, many years. They had always been very helpful. John even built the podium for the congregation, and he paid for it out of his own pocket. He was always the first to arrive for service, making sure the hall and everything is ready for the people when they got there. And he did this every Sabbath. Every Sabbath, he was the first one there. That was his routine. Oh, Mary also served too. Mary also served supervising the mother's room, making sure it was all ready for the young mothers and some old mothers, making sure it was comfortable for them. She also helped in getting a small library started for the church. So naturally, John's minister loved that couple. He was well pleased with their service. He enjoyed having such a serving couple on his team, and wouldn't we? His church circuit was a large circuit. His two churches were better than 2 hours apart. Well, you know, the ones that go to Pressenburg, doesn't that sound familiar? If you leave here, it usually takes 2 hours and 15 minutes in that area to get to Pressenburg. So Kevin has two churches that are more than 2 hours apart. The minister had John leading song service. And now and then, well, John, to start with, he wasn't a musician. And about like me, he wasn't a musician, and he didn't know how to read music. And he wasn't really sure about the 3/4 timing or 4 timing or, well, anyway, the minister had him leading songs, and now and then he would do the announcements. But that was to give this minister just a few minutes to recuperate from the long drive from one church to this church. And the minister began to really rely on John many, many different jobs. And from time to time, John would even do sermonettes, like Mr. Hildebrand. Later, the minister was even thinking about ordaining John a local elder. But then it happened. John's minister got transferred. He got transferred to a different area. And the new minister and his wife arrived. And of course, John and Mary was the first in line to welcome them and make them feel at home. At first, it went quite well. But after a while, John noticed some changes that the new minister was making. For the first change, the new minister liked leading songs himself. He also liked doing the announcements. And some weeks later, after his arrival, the new minister held a meeting of the leading members of his congregation. Now, the old minister always had the meetings in John's basement. The new minister had meetings in his own home. John was kind of shocked about this. He always had those meetings in his basement. He was kind of shocked about this because the former minister always talked things over with John before making any decisions. He always talked things over with John. Well, John and Mary had a few more shocks coming. Some of the jobs they had handled for years and years were given to others. John and Mary were hurt and began to withdraw themselves. Then one Sabbath, the new minister gave the song leading to another man. Well, he said there was really no choice. The new man had proper song leading training. He knew how to read music. He knew how to keep time. However, John thought that was the last straw. He had enough of the new minister's changes. While that new minister never did consult John about any of those changes that he was making. He did it on his own. And John and his wife, Mary, again, not their real names, they shared that same feeling. John looked at Mary and said, "Is that all the thanks we get? I mean, after all we have done to please our people." You know, let's talk a minute about that little sentence there. It's a short statement, but he said, "After all we have done to please our people." That was John's words. So it seems that they were pleasing the congregation instead of pleasing God. And then it's not their people to start with. The congregation is God's people. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, we're going to read verse 12 through 15. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. "Then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you." And that Sabbath, John and Mary drove away from church and didn't come back. Now again, John and Mary is not their real name, but The problems are real. The problems were very real. Brethren, there have been many who seemed to be good, to be servants, solid, hardworking church members, and have thrown it away. And sometimes, in a fit of hurt feelings and resentment, how about us, brethren? How are we? Are we solid? Are we serving God and not the people? How do we stand when doing things that don't seem to go the way we think it should go? How do we stand in that area? I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Could we even now be tricked by Satan? Yes, we could be. We could be tricked out of our eternal reward, but because of pride and maybe hurt feelings, Satan could take us out. Satan can and will give you bad feelings at times. We've got to really watch. Most of us are familiar with the story of the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance in advance. Most of you know that story. Do you know what? I would like to turn there because I really like that story. It's in Luke 15. Luke 15. Luke 15, we'll start in verse 11. And he said, and this is Christ, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose, and when he had spent all, there's a comma there. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Kind of running short on money, I think. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat. And I missed the verse, didn't I? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swines. And he would have filled his belly with their husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, and he started thinking about this, didn't he? And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against God, and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. So make me as one of your hired servants." He was kind of desperate, wasn't he? Going back to his father. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against God and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants..." Did I skip a verse again? No. "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." It's going to have a big party, huh? Now his older son was in the field. He was out there hard working, wasn't he? "And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, What's going on anyway?" It's not really what it says, but same thing. And the servant told him what was going on. His brother had returned, and they were making a feast for him. And he was angry, and he would not go into the house. Therefore, he came out his father and entreated him, wanted him to come in and join the celebration. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve you." He served his father many years. "Neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry and bring my friends. But as soon as your son comes back, which has devoured your living and with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf." Had a big party for him when he returned. "And he said unto him..." I like this verse. "He said unto him, Son, you are ever with me." He's always on his father's mind. He's always there. "And all that I have is yours." I like that verse. Verse 32. "And it was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead." Not literally, but he was gone. "And is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." Sounds to me like that the brother had repented and came home. But the other son said, "It's just not fair, is it? Because he worked for the family, worked on the family farm, never asked for anything. He didn't get a party on him." So he was mad. I would like to read Luke 29 and 32 again, because I like that part. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressing I at any time your commandments. He did everything his father asked him to do. And you got to wonder, why did he leave in the first place? In other words, his own reward had not been diminished. And he was talking about the other brother. So let's go back to John and Mary for a little bit. Like John and Mary, humanly speaking, this son had a point, didn't he? Humanly speaking, this son had a point. But what he couldn't see was that he was making the same mistake as his younger brother that left. The son thought he was doing the right thing, but he was doing it for the wrong reason. He had completely missed the point about the rewards for his loyal service. His rewards, in the end, everything his father had would be his. His father tried to explain this to him in verse 31. In other words, his own reward had not been diminished, and his inheritance was still intact. It was still there. And his father showed that he still loved him very much. But if he had persisted in the frame of mind that he was starting in, he would have been just as greedy and short-sighted as his brother had been. Or maybe as John and Mary had been. We can put it that way. So let's go back to John and Mary's story and let's review their case. Why did they leave? Actually, nothing this new minister had done had taken away from them. It hadn't taken away from their reputation or their fine record of service. It hadn't taken away from anything. But you know, Christ said that there's no position on earth that should be considered permanent. Many of God's leading servants didn't seem to get much thanks for what they did. You can read through the Old Testament, and you don't see where some of them servants got much thanks. The prophets, they led difficult lives, and as far as we know, only one of Christ's original prophets died of natural causes, which is old age. There's a lot of us getting there. Many of God's hardworking servants were persecuted, they were ridiculed, and some were even murdered for the efforts that they did, for the things they stood for serving God. So if that was all the thanks they got, it just wasn't worth it, huh? Well, of course, that's not all the thanks that they will get in the future. It's not all the thanks that they will get. Our service and sacrifice of our time must not be given just for a pat on the back and approval of other people. Otherwise, we are no better than the Pharisees who did their work before men and thus had their rewards of men. When John and Mary decided the new minister didn't appreciate them, they felt this justified their hurt feelings. And how else could they have reasoned? They left. Well, if they had the patience and the humility to try to understand the situation, they could have arrived at several conclusions, all of which were better than getting upset and leaving God's church. Let's look at four areas they could have done. The first area is John and Mary could have realized that they have served long and hard. Many years they served long and hard. And maybe God now wants to give others the chance to serve in their area, in their place. And with that attitude, they could have cheerfully stepped aside while continuing to be ready to help others serve in that area as needed. And number two, John could have admitted maybe he was wrong. He could have admitted that. Maybe he just was wrong. Maybe he was just being greedy and doing too much. Maybe he had too many jobs going. You know, that song leader that the new minister put in place of John, John realized, the congregation realized, because John wasn't there, that this song leader was very good at what he did. That song leader the new minister now has is very good at song leading, and the congregation liked him. And people do seem to understand the announcements better when the minister reads them. I'm not good at doing announcements. Now, Jimmy does a real good job, and so does Kevin. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, we're going to read verse 3 and 4. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Number 3. John and Mary should have realized that Christ does not abandon or discard anyone. He doesn't abandon or discard anybody. Christ promises that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, or He will never forget our contributions. He won't. He knows everything that you do. He knows every place you serve or whatever your contribution is. Christ knows it. Christ sees our deeds. Let's turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, we're going to read verse 10 and 11. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. All the way until the end. Let's turn to John 15. John 15, we'll read verse 2 through 4. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. In my book it says, purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. If John had been thinking straight and not got hurt feelings, if John had been thinking straight, he would have realized that perhaps God was pruning him for something else, for some other service, or a different area. He might have been pruning him for greater opportunities in the future. Remember, the old minister was about to ordain him as a local elder. John never thought about that. Number 4. Finally, we must consider the possibility that John and Mary had indeed been victims of prejudice. Maybe the new minister was not aware, as he should have been, of John and Mary's records of their service. Maybe he didn't get a report of their service. But even if the new minister had been rather unfair in his treatment of John and Mary, was this a valid reason or an excuse to get upset and leave God's church? No. You know, there are several scriptures and biblical examples that could have been shown situation. You know, for starters, if we'll turn to Ecclesiastes 10, I hope I said that right. You know what? I can't find Ecclesiastes. Ain't that awful? I know it's here. I'll tell you what, we'll skip that verse. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. Kevin's going to fire me. First Peter 2:18. 1 Peter 2:18, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering, and wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." I'm going to find Ecclesiastes. You see what happened? I brought the wrong Bible. That's no excuse, because I know in every Bible that Ecclesiastes is in the same place. Ain't that awful? All right. Debbie, you're not going to tell Kevin, are you? Okay. Okay, Ecclesiastes 10, and we're going to read verse 4. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4, "If the spirit of the ruler rises up against you, leave not your place." Just because a minister says something that maybe you didn't like, doesn't mean you leave. "For yielding pacifies great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking different upon the earth." You know, princes walking and servants riding. "With patience and humility and prayer for favor, John and Mary would eventually have gained the confidence of that new minister, wouldn't they have? If he had watched them and he saw how they served, they would have gained that confidence of the new minister. Galatians 5:13. I know where that is. Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the couple, in spite of their apparent good attitude, had proven that they had been men pleasers. If you'd read that all along, they tried to please the people, not God. So their apparent attitude had proven that they had been men pleasers all along. And sooner or later, God would have had to show them that that was wrong. Maybe that was the time that God showed them that that was wrong. Brethren, let's not make this mistake ourselves. It is not wrong to want to be appreciated, though. It's not wrong to want to be appreciated. But this should never become an end in itself. Let's turn back to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 26. Proverbs 29, verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from God. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Let's go ahead and turn, chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Everything you do, brethren, you've got to put your trust in God. John and Mary, again, that's not their real name, had no reason to leave the church any more than the prodigal son's brother had any reason to be upset when his brother returned and the father had a celebration. Those who are loyal and faithful and who endure to the end will one day receive the greatest thanks that anybody could ever receive, anyone could ever hope for, when Jesus Christ Himself will welcome them to eternal life with a resounding voice. If you will, let's turn to Matthew 25. Probably know where I'm going. Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21, it says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. If those words ring out in your ears, brethren, thank God for allowing you to be taught His way of life. And thank God for Him opening your mind and your ears. John and Mary will miss that unless they repent. And hopefully, they will repent. They wanted instead that temporary approval of men, just like the prodigal son. So they walked away from an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part of His government. And is that all the thanks they get? No. They can repent and be back in church and please God. They have to repent. Brethren, if a minister comes into our congregation, if a new minister comes, hopefully that'd be a long, long time. But if a new minister does come into our congregation and starts making changes, well, let's don't turn our back on him. Let's turn back again to Proverbs 29. This time we're going to read verse 1 through 6. Proverbs 29, verse 1 to 6. He that being often reproved, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears the rule, the people mourn. Whoso loves wisdom rejoices his rejoice his father, but he that keeps company with harlots spendeth his substance, just like the son ran off. The king, by judgment, establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it. A man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. I'd like to read verse 11 also. Verse 11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards. This couple that left God's church did not have to do that. If they had just stuck around and listened to the minister, they would have found out that possibly their records of serving did not get to the minister. So he had to start all over again with them and watch them as they serve. God knows at what capacity we serve, and God also allows his ministers to give the jobs to whom he wants to serve. At times, the minister will allow others to have the chance to serve where you were serving. Sometimes you may be asked to change your job at serving. And that doesn't mean you are demoted. You never get demoted in God's church. You may change jobs. You may change jobs of serving. But you don't get demoted. And again, maybe God wants to use you in a different department, so to speak, in a different area of serving. God knows what's best for everyone. And you will get the thanks you all deserve. God knows your record of serving. Maybe this new minister doesn't know your record. God knows your record of serving. Maybe, like I said, that the new minister that came into your area didn't get your history of serving. He doesn't know where you served. Whatever the situation should be, we can't give in. Never, ever give in. God will be with you always, whatever you are doing. And again, you will get the thanks you deserve. Brethren, hard times are coming. And if you just watch the news, you can see it coming. Hard times is coming. We must pray, fast, and study God's word. And again, whatever comes your way, never give up. Your thanks is coming.